You're listening to Sipping on Some Crime podcast, hosted by Aaron. This podcast covers sensitive and triggering subjects, explicit language, and mature content which may not be suitable for children. As always, all parties are innocent until proven guilty.
Today, I will be covering the case of Leah Croucher. Leah was 19 years old when she vanished on her way to work during the daily busy commute on a popular neighborhood trail. How did she just disappear in broad daylight in front of so many people? This case is truly mind-boggling, so let's dive in and try to focus on the facts that are buried deep in the theories, rumors, and speculation that surround this case. Leah is a 19-year-old girl from Milton Keynes, England. So this case comes from across the pond and was brought to my attention from a listener in Germany named April. Thank you, April, for not only bringing this case and many more to the light, but also being a delightful chat companion. Knowing this case is in an area I am not familiar with, I will do my best to not butcher names and my best to describe to you all the geography of the area as I understand it. Any listeners that are local to the area or familiar with the area, please don't hesitate to reach out and correct me if I'm wrong, as I want to learn. Friends and family describe Leah as a shy, introverted child, but as she grew, she became more confident and had a very kind heart. Her father said that Leah was just a genuinely happy girl. At the time of her disappearance, she was living at home with her family. Friends describe her as a homebody. If she wasn't upstairs hanging out in her room, then you would most likely find her downstairs on the couch watching movies with her family. Leah was very much into martial arts, even training and competing with her father, and she was extremely skilled at it. Her father owned a taekwondo studio called Stuart B. Taekwondo, and it seemed both Leah and her older brother Hayden were very involved in the sport with their father. Leah had a job as an admin assistant in a building in Knoll Hill that was just a short walk from her home. On February 14th, 2019, Valentine's Day, Leah went to work as usual, working her normal scheduled hours before returning home from work to put on her jogging gear and head out. She told her mother that her destination was a friend's house and that she would be walking there. Around 10 p.m. that evening, Leah returned home and her mother greeted her asking how her visit with her friend was. Not mentioning the friend's name, Leah said it was fine, then headed to her room to get ready for bed. Leah's mother said there was nothing out of the ordinary with Leah that night. Everything seemed normal. Nothing that stuck out of her as odd at the time. The next morning, February 15th, Leah's parents would get up and get ready for work, leaving that morning before Leah would awake for her day around 7:30 a.m. Around 8 a.m., Leah would get up and get ready, leaving her house on foot, headed to work as usual. She was wearing black skinny jeans, her gray taekwondo hoodie with her father's taekwondo gym name in big blue letters across the back, a black coat, black high-top Converse, and a small black backpack. At 8:16 a.m., CCTV footage would capture Leah walking on Buzzacott Lane in the direction of her work, about half a mile from her house. Her walk to work usually took around 30 minutes, and sometimes she may switch paths, but traveled through the same area daily. I will be putting up many pictures of the area on my site, as well as adding links to articles that go into greater detail of this area and the commute for those that need the visual to better understand this area. Leah was supposed to arrive at work at 9 a.m., but she never showed up that morning. We know without a doubt the last time that she was seen was 8:16 a.m. on that CCTV footage on Buzzacott Lane. So as far as we know, somewhere between 8:16 a.m. and 9 a.m., Leah just vanishes. However, this is not something that sets off alarms for her coworkers, at least not enough to reach out to her family to see why she hadn't come into work. It would be Leah's family that initially realizes that she is missing when she does not return home from work at 6 p.m. like she always did. That's when her family knew something wasn't right, and that's when they would call police to report her missing. Police got involved immediately. They started canvassing the routes that she walked to and from work every day, asking anyone if they had seen her. Police pulled Leah's cell phone information and looked at her cell pings, trying to locate where she could be. Right away, investigators noted that Leah's location services were deactivated on her cell phone the previous day at 5:45 p.m., the time she was walking home from her job the evening before, and right before she would get ready to go and hang out with that friend from the night before. Investigators looked back further and were able to confirm that this wasn't normal. Leah had never turned off her location before prior to the 14th. Unfortunately, her location would not be switched back on. Those cell phone records would also indicate that at 8:34 a.m. on the 15th, Leah's phone was shut off and disconnected from the network and would never turn on again. The cell phone would also be what helped investigators understand that some days Leah would switch routes on her way to work and from work. All heading the same direction, just would randomly switch. I don't see any information on if they know why she switched those routes or how long she had been doing it, but investigators do release two routes she typically took in hopes people will come forward if they are familiar with seeing Leah on either route. From there, investigators would begin to speak with Leah's friends to ascertain whether or not they had seen her recently and which friend she had visited with the night before. That's when investigators would discover that Leah hadn't visited any of her friends the night before, like she had told her family, at least not any friends that her family or friends were aware of or knew. This was a huge red flag. Why had Leah turned off her location and misled or lied to her family about where she had been? And did it have anything to do with her sudden disappearance the following morning? Now, to better help understand the routes that Leah walked through on her way to and from work, you have to understand that it is, from what I understand, a very busy area. This is a popular trail where others are commuting back and forth, mothers are out walking with strollers, parents are taking their kids to school bus stops, people are out jogging, walking, riding bikes, etc. This isn't an area where there's no foot traffic or no witnesses. In fact, it is literally the opposite. A place where I assume most feel safe in the amount of openness and the people buzzing about. When investigators are canvassing the area, they did come across three witnesses that say that they did in fact see a woman matching Leah's description that morning. The first witness said that they saw a woman that matched Leah's description typing on her phone down by First and Lake between 9:30 a.m. and 10 a.m. that morning. The second witness sighting would be two people that were walking together who said that they both saw a woman matching the description of Leah at First and Lake who was crying, visibly upset, and angry between 10:15 and 10 a.m. The same two witnesses would then report seeing the same woman that they described earlier, a bit later on their way back around the path, now calmer, and it seemed like she was talking to someone on her phone. The one thing that these witness sightings do have in common is that they did see a woman matching the description of Leah at First and Lake. And both sightings and all three witnesses state that she was on a cell phone. What investigators can't be sure of is if this is Leah. Investigators have made a public plea for the girl or woman matching that description that was at First and Lake that morning between those times to come forward so they can speak with her and confirm that this was indeed or was not Leah. No one has come forward, which leads to speculation that these sightings were of Leah. Jade, Leah's older sister, also made a public appeal in the first weeks of Leah's disappearance, begging for people to come forward.
For anyone that might have information on Leah, I would beg them, please come forward. My family are living a nightmare, and that's the only way we can describe it. And I would hope that people would find it in their heart that if they did have that information to help to end this nightmare. If Lee is listening to this, I just want her to know that how loved she is. She's loved beyond measure. She's missed so much. And there is nothing more that we want right now than for Lee to come home.
Investigators did have divers search First and Lake looking for Leah. They also searched on foot around the lake. They have knocked on over 4,000 doors and spoke with numerous witnesses, but were not able to get any more confirmed sightings of Leah that morning. Leah's mother and father held a press conference 33 days after Leah's disappearance, speaking directly to the community.
Proud parents of Leah Croucher, Leah has been missing now for 33 long and agonising days. Despite the extensive efforts of the police searches, despite over 120 of our family and friends who have handed out leaflets over three weekends as far afield as London and Birmingham, there have been no further confirmed sightings of Leah. Despite extensive police appeals, our previous press conference, shares and retweets on social media from family, friends, complete strangers and celebrities alike, despite over 200 of you, the public, calling in, there have been no confirmed sightings of Leah. Her posters are on buses, trains, taxis and at various locations around the country. There is even a poster in the main train station in Berlin. Australia knows my daughter is missing, but still no further confirmed sightings of Leah. She has just literally vanished. We believe that somebody in Milton Keynes knows where Leah is. We need that person to call 101 and tell the police where to find her. We have received so much support from the public already, including the MK Dons at their home games and Asda printing her poster enlarged to display in their store. From the people who spent the days in the cold and the rain handing out leaflets to generate some of the 200 calls received by the police so far. And we are so grateful to every single one of you. So many of you have already gone above and beyond to offer us help in one way or another. And now one kind angel has offered a £5,000 reward for information leading to finding Leah. And we are beyond grateful for this extraordinary generosity. There will be large banners appearing at strategic locations across Milton Keynes this weekend, which will be advertising the £5,000 reward. More of the smaller posters will be appearing on more housing estates this weekend, thanks to our army of helpers. We are not going to stop. Please, I'm speaking to that person or the persons out there who will start the trail to find our beautiful Leah. There is now a £5,000 reward. Pick up the phone and do the right thing. Call 101. Tell us how and where to find our daughter, please. We need to know that she is safe. Please call 101. Leah, if you are watching this, please come home. We miss you so much. If someone or something has upset you, we can help you to sort it out together as a family. Please come back to us. Your dad and I are worried sick about you. Everybody is. We want you here, safe with us. We just want to give you a big cuddle. Please come home. We love you.
There wouldn't be many more promising tips that came in until October 2019, when a witness called in saying that in February, she was down by the Blue Lagoon Lake and remembered seeing a gray hoodie with the name Stuart B. on the back lying near the lake when she was walking. Investigators, of course, would follow up on this tip and search the lake. They would send in divers, search dogs, and investigators on foot and the surrounding area. This search would go on for 10 days, but as far as any of us know, they didn't find anything related to Leah's disappearance. At the end of October 2019, Leah's family would come forward stating that at the time of Leah's disappearance, she was in a relationship with an engaged man. Leah's mom would explain that Leah had begun seeing this man whose name they have not released in the summer of 2019. Leah's mother said it was very sudden that Leah became interested in this man and was constantly talking about him around her friends and family. Leah, who is a typical homebody, was suddenly going out at nights and spending money on cabs to take her to and from to see this man. Her mother said it wasn't until Leah really began to talk more about this relationship and this man that she had been seeing that she would discover that he was engaged to someone else. Her mother says that in that conversation, she told Leah, "Do not fall for him because he's never going to be yours." Leah's mother was under the impression that she understood that, and after that conversation, that Leah had stopped seeing this man. Her parents said it took until she was gone for them to realize that there were a lot of changes with Leah and her behavior leading up to the disappearance. They were subtle, but they were things like her mood. She seemed to be more argumentative and snappy. She often now came home and went straight up to her room and would sulk for the rest of the night after being out. We have to remember that Leah was 19, so her parents didn't necessarily see this as something that was out of the ordinary for a teenager. They just kind of thought it was a phase of being a young adult, a teenager. At the same time, her parents were conflicted with the subtle changes because while they were subtle, they were very out of character for Leah, who again was a homebody who loved to sit at home and read her Twilight books and was completely content with hanging out with just her family. Her mom talks about the time when Leah turned 18 and trying to get her out to go to a local pub and just enjoy the experience. Eventually, they would talk her into going, and she said that Leah thought the whole experience was just too expensive and not interesting. So for her to suddenly be going out more and more definitely was a sudden shift in behavior. Investigators do discover that February 3rd, 2019, just a few days before her disappearance, that Leah did another thing out of character. She would tell her parents that she booked a hotel room for a girls' night. She let her parents know that it would be just her girlfriends drinking, gossiping, and spending the night together. Leah's mother said at the time it wasn't something that actually set off alarm bells for her. In fact, she remembers Leah telling her about this plan and her mother being excited that she was venturing out to spend time with her girlfriends like a lot of young girls do. She was excited for her to have a girls' night with her friends. Leah's dad would be the one that dropped her off at Jury's Inn that night. Her father said he dropped her off. She waved goodbye. He watched her walk into the hotel. The family didn't think anything about this. Again, they were excited she was going to have this girls' night. Her older brother, who she was very close to, Hayden, had done the same thing when he was younger. Rented a hotel room, drank, and hung out with his friends. This was just a common thing that young teens do. However, a few weeks after Leah's disappearance, her parents would get a credit card statement and realize that that night, Leah didn't stay at the Jury Inn. For the same night, February 3rd, there was actually a charge at the Travel Lodge Motel, which was located just a short walk from the Jury Inn. Now investigators and Leah's parents started to think that Leah, in fact, didn't have a girls' night planned at all. Instead, they believe she was meeting this engaged man that night, which may have been what prompted Leah's parents to now come forward with this information. Unfortunately, by the time investigators received this tip and put all of it together, the CCTV footage at the travel lodge that could help them confirm any of this, that footage was already long gone. I don't know how long they maintained the recordings from CCTV, but it was no longer available when investigators needed it. Now investigators are at another frustrating dead end. When they look deeper into Leah's phone, they do not see any text messages that would allude to any secret relationship. Leah was a huge user of Snapchat, and while we all know those messages vanish once you read them and close it, that's not what really happens. There is a way to go and recover and see all messages on Snapchat, even after you've deleted the app. So knowing about the secret relationship but having no evidence on Leah's phone leads them to believe that Leah might have had a secondary phone that either she purchased to use for the secret relationship or this engaged man gave her to use for the secret affair they were having. If you think back to the three possible sightings of Leah that morning that she vanished, all three witnesses stated that the girl matching her description was on a phone after investigators note that Leah's phone disconnects from the network. Which, if these sightings are of Leah, and she is seen using a phone after hers disconnects from the network, then this theory posed by investigators suddenly has a lot of weight to it. Now, I know you have lots of questions about this engaged man. Me too. So many. From what I can gather, it seems he may have been a few years older than her, but his identity is being protected by investigators at this point. Investigators have said the engaged man in question, of course, that they did run down his whereabouts that day that Leah disappeared, and they say that he has an alibi for that day. Does this rule him out? I don't know, especially since they won't give us his name and they have done everything to keep any details about him from the public. So they must have some interest in this gentleman. His name is out there supposedly on sleuth threads and is strictly prohibited that we use any information about him in any media reports. So, do with that what you will. Leah's family would step forward doing interview after interview, pleading with the public to help them find Leah. Leah's older sister, Jade, once again pleaded to the public to find it in their hearts to come forward and end their nightmare.
Much like many of you are probably thinking right now, whenever I saw news of a missing person in the past, I felt sadness for the families and friends suffering. But naively, I also thought that I would never be one of the people to encounter the pain and worry that is caused by this awful situation. Never in my life did I think that I would one day be living this nightmare that I am. On the 15th of February, the lives of my family and I sadly changed in the blink of an eye when our lovely Leah went missing, seemingly vanishing without a trace. Leah left at her usual time to walk to work and was seen on CCTV at 8:16 on the route she walked every day. But for some reason, she did not make it to work that day and she has not been seen or spoken to since. My sister has now been missing for over 21 weeks. For us, that has meant 21 weeks of total agony, despair and heartache. My words could never truly describe how this pain feels. In all honesty, I believe it is something that could never be understood until you live through it yourself. This therefore means that despite being surrounded by an overwhelming amount of love and support, it is easy to feel totally alone in your thoughts and worries. Leah is a beautiful, intelligent, kind and all-round amazing person. She has a heart of gold, a fantastic witty sense of humour and is everything that you could wish for a sister to be. She has a family and friends who adore her and miss her beyond measure, who are totally lost without her. Leah has truly touched the lives of everyone that she has met. We need Leah to come home. We desperately need to know that she is safe. We need this torture to end. No family should have to live with the pain and uncertainty that we are experiencing. The sleepless nights, the nightmares, the constant worries and fear. I can only hope that it will all come to an end and we are reunited with Leah soon. I find it hard to understand how a person can go missing without a trace, without someone knowing or seeing something. I therefore ask everyone, if you have any information on Leah's whereabouts, please inform the police by dialing 101 or contacting Crime Stoppers to remain anonymous. The £5,000 reward is still available to the person who comes forward with the information that leads to Leah being found. Please help us.
In November 2019, 9 months into Leah's disappearance, her brother Hayden Croucher, 24 years old, would take his own life, stating that he found it too difficult to cope with his sister's disappearance. An inquest into Hayden's death would show that Hayden was assessed for hospital administration per discussion with his therapist, Chantel Tilson, who after speaking with him persuaded him to go to Milton Keynes Hospital, but there were no local beds available. Milton Keynes senior coroner Tom Osborne found Hayden's discharge was not adequately risk assessed and the lack of plan around his discharge had contributed to his death. Hayden's family said they believe his death was avoidable. In a statement released by Oakwood Solicitors, the family said at the inquest, quote, "This is a concern given the time that at the time Hayden's crisis, no local bed was available. In addition, the provision of an out-of-area bed was not explored with him, and he was simply sent home with no adequate provisions for support," unquote. Tracy Furness, Hayden's mother, told the inquest that he was begging for help before his death. Dr. Stephanie Olroyd, the clinical director of mental health services at North and Central West London NHS Foundation, said, quote, "This family has lost a great deal, and we are deeply sorry for the pain they are experiencing. We wholly accept the conclusion of the inquest and the need to learn from this tragic incident. At the inquest, I described the changes we have been making to provide better clinical oversight of cases and improve the way we manage risk and plan for discharge," unquote. Dr. Olroyd went on to say that the new 24-hour crisis resolution and home treatment team, quote, "will provide more robust care and support for people when they need it most, and the inpatient renovation would improve privacy and dignity for people in hospital by moving from dormitories to single rooms," unquote. Leah's family just seemed to be experiencing so much tragedy. And after the loss of her brother, there would be no new leads of promise that would come to investigators, even with Hayden's inquest grabbing headlines and placing Leah's story back in the spotlight. On the one-year anniversary of Leah's disappearance, her parents would speak to the press expressing their pain at the loss of their son and the continued search for their daughter.
Leah Croucher is described by her family as lovely, caring, and compassionate. But for the past year, they've been without her after she suddenly went missing. It's left her parents searching for answers and living an everyday nightmare.
There are times I feel very angry and I want to break things. There are times I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to face the world. I just want to know where she went and what happened to her, because I don't believe she chose this. I don't believe she ran away.
Leah was last seen on CCTV on the morning of February 15th last year. She was on her way to work in Milton Keynes, but never arrived. Her disappearance led to a large police operation. Dive teams searched lakes across the town, while officers visited 4,000 homes as they gathered information.
And it's particularly distinctive because of the colourful logo on the left-hand side of the chest.
Now police are joining forces with Leah's family for this new appeal, believing someone knows what happened, particularly given where and when she was last seen.
It's Friday the 15th of February. It's the day after Valentine's Day. It's the last day before the schools break up for half term. That is a really busy area. It's a residential area. There's lots of pedestrians, local schools and nursery. There's lots of sort of vehicle traffic. Somebody must have seen Leah.
Police have doubled their award for information to £10,000. Since Leah's disappearance, her parents have endured further heartache, making their ongoing ordeal all the more traumatic.
I've lost my daughter. I can't find her. And I've lost my son, who's committed suicide. That has completely and utterly destroyed me and my entire family.
So somebody must have seen her. There was maybe your loved ones acting strange around that time. Think about it. All right. Although you think you're protecting them, you're destroying my family. I've lost Leah. I've lost my stepson, Hayden. And it's about time that you gave us all some peace.
Leah's family say their lives will only get harder until they get answers. They desperately hope this fresh appeal for information will provide them. Mark McQuillan, 5 News.
More tips would come in, but again, nothing substantial. And on February 2021, making the 2-year anniversary, investigators with the Thames Valley Police would again make a public appeal for any information on Leah's disappearance.
Leah's family have not seen or heard from their daughter or sister since Thursday the 14th of February 2019, the evening before she went missing. 2 long years have passed since they've been able to embrace her or hear her voice. Despite extensive searches in Milton Keynes, talking to witnesses, publishing posters, flyers and numerous media appeals, we still have not located Leah to bring her back safely to her devastated family. I want to take this opportunity to mark this anniversary by appealing directly to the people of Milton Keynes, and in particularly those that live or commute in the areas that Leah was known to be in on a regular basis. This is a key section of the route, Uzzicott Lane up to Dulverton Drive. This is where the last sighting of Leah was seen on CCTV, but it's also a part of her route that she would walk every day to her place of work in Knowle Hill, which is approximately a 2-mile walk from her home address in Quantock Crescent, Emerson Valley. We know that Leah walked past the CCTV camera in Lee Hill at 8:07 on Friday the 15th of February 2019, which is no more than a couple of minutes after she would have left her home address. She was then later picked up by another CCTV camera at 8:16 a.m. located here in Buzzacott Lane. Since then, there have been no confirmed sightings of Leah at all. A witness walking past Teletubby Hill on Dulverton Drive, 100 metres or so from the CCTV sighting in Buzzacott Lane, described seeing a female who may well be Leah, but we cannot be 100% sure. What we do know is that from Dulverton Drive, there are a number of different routes that Leah could have then taken. We also know that on the 2 days before she went missing, the route Leah had taken was to head along Lockspear Drive, go under Chaffron Way, and then walk through a combination of Faraday Drive and the adjacent Redways that run through Shenley Lodge. However, it does not appear that is the route that Leah took on that Friday morning. That is why I want to appeal again directly to anyone who could have been in this area on Friday the 15th of February, as well as residents of Buzzacott Lane, Delverton Drive, Loxbier Drive, and anyone close to or in the vicinity of Thurston Lake.
Investigators would continue to investigate all tips that came in regarding Leah's case, but there wouldn't be anything big until September 2021, when a witness would come forward to reporters about an event she witnessed the morning of February 15th, 2019, between 8:35 a.m. and 8:40 a.m. This witness, a female in her 60s, says she was watching a shiny black car in line in traffic just yards from Thurston Lake when she notices a foot appear on the passenger's dashboard, which instantly caught her attention as odd since there was no obvious passenger in that seat. The witness said, quote, "Suddenly a right foot appeared on the dashboard followed by a left foot. I guess they belonged to a female because of the size. I was stationary and the car was at a junction to the side of me waiting to pull out, so I had quite a good view," unquote. The witness said that's when suddenly things took an even stranger turn, so strange she almost stopped her own car to run out to the passenger side of this car to see if everything was okay. The witness said, quote, "As I watched the car, the driver suddenly let go of the steering wheel with both hands, twisting himself around and pushed whoever the feet belonged to down forcibly with both hands, and it seemed very aggressive. It was like he was trying to hide someone. I remember being concerned enough that I tried to get the number plate, but I was at the wrong angle to see it. I hoped the cars in front of me would move forward enough so I could allow the driver to pull out in front of me and I'd get a better view," unquote. The witness went on to say at that point, the car began moving again and another driver several cars up let the mystery man out in front of them. She said, quote, "I lost sight of him after that, but it continued to prey on my mind. Was it a father disciplining a naughty teenager, perhaps for putting their feet on the dashboard? It looked too aggressive for that. Or was it something more sinister? I wish I'd had my phone to hand and taken a photograph," unquote. The incident stuck with the witness playing heavy on her mind when 3 days later she saw the news headline about Leah's disappearance from the Emerson Valley, and the witness didn't hesitate to pick up the phone and call police at the number they were giving out for tips. The witness said, quote, "Was it Leah I saw that morning? Had someone taken her and was trying to hide her? It seems such a coincidence that it happened at almost exactly the same time and place. I may have been putting two and two together and making five, but I thought it was something the police ought to know about," unquote. She said she rang the number and got a female who answered and sounded quite young and uninterested or had worked all night and was tired. Either way, she didn't seem concerned with the information the witness was passing along. The witness gave her name, address, and contact information and awaited a call from the police, which never came. She said she really half expected officers to arrive at her door asking for a statement, which she would have been fine with, but that didn't happen either. Weeks later, the witness would read about a fresh appeal from police investigating Leah's disappearance for any witnesses with any information to please come forward. This time, she decided to use the dedicated website to submit her tip, writing down everything she had seen once again and submitting the tip. Again, she waited for an officer to reach out for her statement, and again, no one contacted her. This time, the witness herself called the police asking specifically if they looked into her tip, and she was told no comment. The witness says she lives quite close to Leah's family, and she knew Leah by sight, and it seemed like she was a very lovely girl and not a girl that would voluntarily disappear. She says she's never stopped wondering if what she saw that day was relevant, and that she's always thinking about Leah and her family. The witness broke her silence on Facebook message board for Leah's case that was frustrated with the lack of information and progress into Leah's case. The witness decided to come forward in hopes that it might help. She was able to give a description of the man in a shiny black car that she said was possibly a coupe model with a slanted back, and the man that was driving was maybe 30 to 40, had darkish hair, more dark brown than black, and it was cut in a mop head style. Not hippie long, not short, but kind of hanging down on both sides like the Beatles in the early days. The driver was wearing a dark bottle green jumper and a tan colored jacket. A longer jacket and it may have been leather. The witness only got a quick glance at the shoes on the dashboard, but says they were dark-soled shoes. Could have been boots, but were definitely too small to be an adult male's shoes. They looked more teenage or female-style shoes. The witness was traveling on the H7 Chaffron Way towards central Milton Keynes, and the black coupe was seen pulling out of the junction onto the H7, leading at the right angle directly from First and Lake. The witness thought it was extremely important that she saw all this happen around the same time Leah's phone disconnected from the network. The witness says she is not interested in the reward. She just felt like it was vital to get this tip to police, who insisted they have followed up on the lead. 2021 seems to bring forward more interesting tips because just shy of a month later, another tip would come in and be turned over to police via Google Maps sleuth. A photo taken March 2019 on Google Maps shows what looks like a person covered by shadows up against a barn door and looking out from the barn, located on a property in Easton Bray, a village in England, 30 kilometers, around 18 miles, from where Leah lives in Milton Keynes. It was discovered that these grounds and home were indeed already searched 2 years ago, and that's what led Google Maps sleuths to look in that direction in the first place. As to if they found anything in that search, investigators are not commenting, but do say they received the picture and are looking into this tip. I will, of course, have the link to this picture and it uploaded on my Sipping on Some Crime site for you to look at. Throughout the investigation into Leah's disappearance, investigators have asked the public over and over to please look back in their photos and videos of that day if you were at First and Lake, February 15th, or in that area, and there has been no public confirmation of any such photos turned in, until just last month. In December, a photo would surface, bringing Leah's case back into the spotlight once again. A witness would come forward with an old photograph on their mobile device taken the morning of the 15th at First and Lake at 10:51 a.m. The picture is very blurry, but in the picture you can see a person dressed all in black with what looks like a small black backpack on their back, all which match the description of Leah that morning. This also lines up with the two witnesses that say they saw a girl matching Leah's description standing at the lake on their phone after they came around the second time after 10:30 a.m. Police have confirmed that they are taking this image seriously and are investigating this lead. Unfortunately, this is where the case stands today. We are about to be at the third year anniversary of Leah's disappearance, and when you really dive into this case, there is so much more. But so much of it is speculation, rumor, and theory, so if you're truly interested in taking a deeper dive into this case, I will post links and sources that will get you started down the rabbit hole that is Leah's case. However, I wanted to present the facts as clearly as I understood them and make sure that Leah was not lost in all the noise. As the third year approaches, I hope it brings answers and resolution to her family. I hope Leah is found safe and that her family can begin to heal. Don't forget, when you see those missing and murdered posts on social media, to share, like, and retweet. The more we share a face, the closer we get to solving a case. Until next time.